Amen. Once again, just thank you so much, Drew, for helping to lead us in worship music this morning. Friends, as we prepare our hearts to hear this word from God, will you pray with me? Our God, this day we do thank you so very much, Lord, for the way that you love us, the way you forgive us and save us, the way you have made us for your glory and your presence to be with you and to be like you, full of grace and love, mercy and peace. Our God, this day we do pray that you would take the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and shape us, God, to be more like you, our faithful King. Amen. Well, friends, again, as we are all gathered up here together today, I am thinking about the fact that so many of us gather, whether outside or in our cars or inside and in our homes, no matter where we are, God has brought us together to praise God. And as we take a few moments to reflect on Psalm 123, a scripture that is really a prayer, as we imagine this prayer being lifted by God's faithful people across time and space for generations and generations, as we ourselves have lifted our eyes and our faces toward our God. You know, I am just overwhelmed this day with how much this scripture, this prayer, reminds us simply to focus. To focus our gaze, to focus our hearts, to focus our souls and our minds on our God, the one who is somehow enthroned in the heavens, the Lord of all creation, and yet who is somehow also so very near and gracious to us, no further away than an outstretched hand. This scripture today reminds us that our God is trustworthy and good to each individual child and creature in God's precious world. And friends, this psalm, it seems then, is all about our focus, our gaze, how we center ourselves, how we orient ourselves, the way we position ourselves toward our good and great God. We've been saying it a lot lately. It's already been said multiple times today that God is good when? All the time. And all the time? That's right. God is good every single moment, even when we are not. And during these fall months, you know, we have been really anchoring ourselves in this truth. We've been in this sermon series on gratitude and gratefulness, and we've taken up Pastor Sheila's challenge to write down these 101 blessings in our lives. And so today, as we come to Psalm 123 and we kind of close out this series, we are reminded of how important it is for us as the grateful, as the blessed community of faith, to continually fix our eyes on our good and our gracious God. Like the faithful who journeyed thousands of years ago to worship in Jerusalem, praying that their eyes might be up and focused on the goodness of God, friends, I am grateful that this reorientation of their focus to God is something that they prayed about and sang about so long ago that eventually it was written down, so that now, even in our own day and a time, we can imagine that we are praying this prayer with them. Because I don't know about you, but I find their words in this prayer to be profoundly needed these past days, weeks, maybe even months. I find that these sincere prayers for focus on our great, good God prompt me to ask myself a most faithful, but most hard and holy question in these days. Where has your focus been recently, Ashley? To what have your eyes been turning to lately? What are you doing with your time, with your heart, with your mind, with your body and your soul? Am I focused? Am I centered, full heart, mind, body, and soul, turning toward God? Or am I focused and am I centered, full heart, mind, body, and soul, turning elsewhere, looking for answers, for guidance, direction, or hope? I mean, these are legitimately challenging days, aren't they? This pandemic has us grieving everything from catastrophic loss of life to loss of work and purpose and community. The pace of life for some has crawled to a painful and isolating standstill, while for others, such as healthcare workers and essential workers, the pace is overwhelming and long and exhausting and soul depleting. As a nation, we are staring down these post-election numbers that indicate in deeply distressing ways how very differently we as a people apparently see one another, how very differently we in the church even understand our role as God's people of grace in this world. And so in the midst of such challenging times, if we are honest, we may find it tempting not to fill and to focus our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our souls on God. Now, I think if we are honest, it may be that focus lately has tended more towards news and numbers and sometimes doom scrolling on social media to find, you know, just one more story of that person. You know, that one who sits across the political aisle from us, or the spiritual aisle, or the philosophical aisle, or fill in the blank aisle. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves giving into vitriol and rage instead of focusing on the goodness of God that we just heard about. To change and transform not that person, not those people over there, but this person right here. Even us into people of God's grace and goodness in the world. Where has our focus been recently? Do we spend more time with our eyes up, focused on God and that opportunity to be formed and shaped daily by God's grace, God's justice, God's love for all? Or do we spend more time with our eyes focused elsewhere, making ourselves or mistaking ourselves, making our leaders or mistaking our leaders as God, comfortable and complacent in what we've heard called these dangerous echo chambers of our own views? Perhaps a helpful pause as we ask, are we focused on who God is and who God is calling us to be? Or are we focused on who other people are and who God is calling them to be? The Psalm 123 prayer, even in all of its comfort and focus on God, still steps on our toes a little bit as we come to recognize that when we focus on self and on our self-interest, when we cast our gaze inward and not upward, then we too are in danger of becoming not like those precious pilgrim worshipers of God who are praying this prayer, but rather like the contemptuous, proud ones, the ones identified in the scripture as those who have neglected or done harm to God's precious children in God's precious world. And the prayer of Psalm 123 leaves open the very real possibility, you know, that even the people who were praying this prayer, even God's faithful, knew something of that tendency that we all have, right, to turn towards ourselves and away from God. And they give voice to their intention to look to God. And as they do so, they are really giving voice to their intention to not become like those who are apparently causing such deep harm to them. So there seems to be within this prayer both this individual and collective community prayer, one of mercy and focusing themselves on our good and great God as they cry out to God to be gracious towards them, and they name that they do not want to be like those who have shown them no mercy or grace. And you know, even though we cannot be certain what the specific situations of harm or neglect or injustice were for this community of prayerful people, most scholars believe that Psalm 123, along with these other psalms of ascent, they're found in Psalms 120 through 134, and I would commend them to your reading. They were written after the exile of the Israelite people from their homes and from this holy city of Jerusalem where they're now going to worship. These 15 Psalms of Ascent are all relatively short. They are easy to memorize, and intentionally so that people could pray them together. And if you take a moment to read them, you see that they are filled with the very honest, very authentic prayers of these exiled yet hopeful people of God. So some of these psalms are filled with joy, thanksgiving, and blessing, while others are filled with prayers for deliverance and reassurance. And in the case of Psalm 123, we simply find this very deeply felt request for mercy and for grace in a situation that is apparently unjust, exhausting, and soul-depleting. So even if we don't know the details of these particular circumstances, verses 3 and 4 make it clear to us that this prayer for mercy was for anyone who was being treated unfairly or unjustly by those who were selfish with their resources and power. This prayer was for anyone who was dismayed by the prideful contempt that came from those who lived like they thought they knew better than God, or like maybe they thought they were better than God. In this particular prayer, the people of God are crying out for God to be gracious toward them, to show them mercy, because graciousness and mercy are apparently not to be found in those with the power and resources in this scripture. So Psalm 123 indicates that the faithful dear ones of God have had more than enough, scripture says, more than enough of all that lack of mercy, more than enough of all that contempt, more than enough of the pride that turns people toward self instead of toward God, more than enough. Their souls have had more than their fill of the scorn of those at ease, more than their fill of the contempt of the proud. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates it this way. He says, "We've been kicked around long enough, kicked in the teeth by complacent rich men, kicked when we're down by arrogant brutes." And so, in short, friends, these dear ones of God have had more than enough of neglect and mistreatment and abuse that they are suffering by those in power. So friends, as we consider this hard and holy, and trust me, it's their hopeful text today, this faithful prayer we find before us, I wonder if we might reflect for a moment on what we have had more than enough of in these days. As we consider especially those who are powerless in our community and world, what might we imagine that they have had more than enough of in these days? As we turn our eyes toward the God of mercy and grace, as we pray for courage to be more like our God and less like those who would abuse their privilege and power, I want to leave you this day with two questions that I would simply invite you to pray over in the coming days, and then I would invite you and encourage you to share your thoughts and your responses with a dear one in your life this week, okay? So the first question is this: what have you had more than enough of in these days? And then secondly, how are you going to keep your focus on God in these days? Right, so maybe in the more than enough category, you know, maybe it's something that has stirred up contempt or pride or scorn within you. For example, I don't know, maybe you've had more than enough of that detrimental daily habit of picking up your phone to check your social media feed first thing in the morning. I don't know anybody who does that. Do you? I don't know anybody who does that. But now, maybe instead of giving in to that temptation, you're going to keep your focus on God by thanking God for at least three things before you get out of bed, or by adding to that list of 101 blessings each morning. Maybe it's a bigger yet still potentially daily habit you could lean into. Maybe you, like me, have had more than enough of the inaction surrounding white privilege and racism, or bigotry and misunderstanding, and instead of throwing up our hands in frustration to God, maybe we keep our focus on God, praying and picking up a book on white privilege, or listening to a sermon or a podcast from someone who is deeply involved in anti-racist work, and we get involved and we get in good trouble addressing injustice, right? Or maybe you've had more than enough of the suffering, the grief, and the pain of this pandemic, and you might keep your focus on God not only by wearing a mask whenever you are out, but also by sending a card each day, maybe to healthcare workers or to individuals who are isolated in nursing homes. If you're in the Pensacola area, maybe you volunteer on Thursdays to deliver food through our partnership with Manna Food Pantries. Whatever it is, friends, think and pray about these questions. What have you had more than enough of in these days? And whenever and wherever you see people suffering, what do you imagine they've had more than enough of in these days? And how are you going to keep your focus on God? Pray about these things. Share these responses with one another. And as you recall, the faithful children of God praying Psalm 123 on their journey of worship and praise, friends, always, always remember the God to whom they lifted their eyes when they had had more than enough of the distress and the struggle and the injustice around them. Always remember the goodness of the God we have worshiped this morning and have the opportunity to worship every single day. And as we close our time together this morning, if you need perhaps just one more reminder of who our God is, then I want to leave you with some words from my 5-year-old daughter, Emma. And I did ask her permission to share this with you all today. You know, she was supposed to lay down for a nap yesterday, and I know it will come as a shocker for anyone who has ever tried to put a child down for a nap, but she was fighting it a little bit, stalling with me, and, you know, she's gotten used to me. She knows just how to get me distracted, so she engaged me in a conversation about God. That's pretty smart on her part. And while I did not really tell her anything about the scripture reading today, what I did tell her is that I would be preaching. And so I asked her, well, Emma, you know, what would you tell people about God? If you could tell them anything about God, what would you say? And to her credit, she paused and she thought about it. But then she said, I would tell them that God is good. God is not bad. That when you are sad or scared, you can pray to God. And that when you are mean, you can pray to God and God will help you. Friends, this is the God to whom we lift our eyes this day. This is the God on whom we focus our full hearts, souls, bodies, and minds every day. Our God who is good and not bad. Our God who will help us when we are sad or scared or mean. Our God who loves us and loves all just as we are. May we keep our focus on God this day. Amen.